I want to talk about this morning, He is Willing, this story of when Jesus healed a leper. And leprosy is equated with sin quite a bit in the Bible, kind of a parallel. So we're going to talk a little bit about that also. Father, I thank you for those who come out this morning. I thank you for the truth of your word. I ask, Lord, that you bless the teaching of your word, that I would decrease and you would increase. Lord, give us ears to hear and eyes to see and open our hearts to receive your truth. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark said, and a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling, said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. The Gospel of Mark begins with the appearance of John the Baptist. Matthew and Luke talk about the birth of Jesus, and Mark just goes right into the baptism of John. John preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and also announced that the Messiah was there, that he was coming. And the Lord came and was baptized by John. And then he went into the wilderness for 40 days and he fasted 40 days and nights. And Mark just says he was tempted by the devil. Again, he doesn't go into much detail about it. And after he came out of the wilderness, the scriptures say he came out in the power of the Spirit. And he came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Then he began to call his followers. He called Peter and Andrew, James and John. They were the first four. They were all fishermen. Then they went to Capernaum. Now Capernaum at that time boasted the largest and most elaborate synagogue in Judea. And the Lord went there to preach. And there was a demon-possessed man in the synagogue service. And he confronted Jesus. And Jesus rebuked the spirit in him and told him to come out. And it said as he taught, the people were amazed because he taught like someone who had authority. And of course, they were even more amazed when he began to heal the sick and cast out demons. And it said people came from all over. Understandable. One day, after the Lord had been teaching and preaching and healing, casting out demons, it says he got up very early in the morning and he went to a desolate place to pray. And Peter, Andrew, James, and John came looking for him. And they said, everybody's looking for you. And Jesus said, we need to move on. He said, I came here to preach, and we need to go to other cities and preach. Sometimes I forget that Jesus was a preacher. That just, I don't know. I just forget about that. And I'm sure he didn't do three-point messages and with three sub-points. You know, he preached and he taught the truth. And the scriptures say that because of the miracles he was doing in Capernaum, his fame spread throughout all Galilee. Okay, this brings us up to where we are this morning. Jesus has left Capernaum. It says he's going into the synagogues, preaching the gospel and casting out demons. And one day, a leper approaches him. Now, if you know anything about leprosy, it's a disease that affects the skin and the peripheral nervous system. The person often loses the feelings in their hands and feet. The skin turns white patches. It turns raw. It can be a very disfiguring disease. I looked at some pictures online this week, and America doesn't have that much of a problem. They said there was less than 200 cases reported in America last year, but India, Egypt, places like that, they still have a lot of trouble with it, and it can actually disfigure people's faces. It's a terrible disease. In the law, God told Israel, the leprous person who has a disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose. And he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. And anyone who came in contact with a leper was considered unclean. They had to go outside the camp or the city, bathe, wash their clothes, and stay out of the city until sunset. And then God said, then you could come back in. So it was a bad disease for the people that had it. And it was bad if you accidentally brushed up against one or if you touched one of them. Now, we understand today there was sanitation reasons involved with that, is why God had them do that. But it was a terrible disease. And some actually believe that it was a punishment from God. Now, there's two incidences in Scripture that I brought out for this morning. And to help us understand, that's, you know, it's probably why they thought it. The first incident was one with Miriam and Aaron. Moses had married a Cushite woman, and it said they complained against him. Now, Moses was God's chosen leader. He was a prophet. And Miriam and Aaron and Miriam didn't like him marrying this woman outside the Jewish faith, and they criticized him and more or less said, we're God's people too. Well, God called them to the tent of meeting. He had a little huddle. And he told them, I speak to prophets in visions and dreams, but Moses has seen my form. And he said, you should have known better than to speak against him. And the Bible says God's anger was kindled. And when the cloud, he was in a cloud, when the cloud lifted up, Miriam was leprous. Well, Moses prayed for her and said, Lord, don't let her flesh rot like a stillborn baby. Please heal her. And the Lord said, if her father had spit in her face, you'd make her sit outside the camp. He said, she'll sit outside the camp for 7 days and in hillbilly till she learns to shut her mouth. Now, how come he didn't strike Aaron? He was the high priest. Aaron ministered in the temple. God didn't strike him with leprosy. There was another incident of a king named Uzziah who did great building projects in Israel, in Jerusalem. And the Bible said he became very proud. And he went into the temple one day and took one of the priest's censer at the table of incense and was offering incense before God. Azariah, the high priest, and 80 other priests went in there and they rebuked him and said, that's not lawful for you. Under the covenant, only the priest, the sons of Aaron, could offer the incense. And it said Uzziah became angry. And he got ready to rebuke the priest, and leprosy broke out on him. And it said the priest rushed him out of the temple. I think they herded up around him and pushed him right out the door. So there's two instances of a few where God did strike people with leprosy. But some of the concept or the belief among the people was that if you had leprosy, you must really messed up. You remember the incident where Jesus healed a blind man in the temple. And his disciples asked him, to me, one of the stupidest questions I ever heard in my life. He said, Lord, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, how can a man sin before he's born? But that was the idea they had. Remember what Jesus said, neither one of them. He was born blind so the works of God could be made manifest. So I don't go along with their belief that God always uses leprosy to punish people. What I read said 90% of the world are immune to it, the bacteria that causes it. But you can catch it if you stay in constant contact with these people, especially through fluid exchange. So this leper had to wear his clothes torn and his hair down, and that was a sign of mourning or grief. And whenever he saw you coming or saw a crowd coming or he approached you, he had to shout unclean, because he didn't want you touching him and you definitely didn't want to touch him. He had to warn you. But in this text today, he approached Jesus. Now that was unusual for a leper to approach a rabbi. If he'd approached a Pharisee or a scribe, they'd have took him to tow right there on the spot, said, whoa, you stay your distance. Remember that social distancing with COVID? Well, they really had social distancing back then. They'd throw rocks at you if you got too close. But you see, Jesus' fame had spread all through Galilee, and this guy had heard about him. And he does something that's kind of out of line in that day. He approached Jesus. Now, this man had faith. He had heard about what Jesus did. There was no cure at that time for leprosy. And he saw Jesus was the only hope that he had. He'd heard about his miracles. And it said that he got on his knees and he begged him. The ESV says implored. According to Dr. Strong, both words work just as well. He begged Jesus. He knew Jesus could cleanse him. He believed he could do it, but he didn't know if he would. He said, if you will. The King James says, if you are willing, you can make me whole. And Jesus said, I am willing. Good news to the leper. But then Jesus did something that was so unusual. I'm sure any Pharisees there about swallowed their lifesavers when they saw him do it, or their pebble or whatever they were chewing on. It said he touched him. This was an untouchable. You're not allowed to touch them. They're not allowed to touch you. And Mark said Jesus was moved with pity. I looked it up in the Greek, and it's kind of strange the way they defined it. It's to yearn with your bowels. Now remember, that's old English. Guys, don't look at your wife and say, I love you with all my bowels, honey. That's not going to go over well. But it meant from the very center, from the very heart. And moved with pity was all one phrase in the Greek. And it means, according to Dr. Strong, Jesus was deeply stirred with compassion when he saw the guy. And he was so moved that he reached out and put his hand on him. That's probably the first time somebody besides a leper had touched him in a long time. And I'm sure the legalistic people there thought, oh, he done it now, he's unclean, he's going to have to go take a bath and wash his clothes and sit outside the camp. He must not have been thinking. But you know what? When Jesus touches the unclean, their uncleanness doesn't transfer to him. His cleanness transfers to them. Yeah. He reached out and he touched him and he said, I will. I am willing. Be clean. So the leprosy left him. Now, I said when I started this that leprosy is often equated with sin like a spiritual parallel. And that's along the lines of what I wanted to share with you this morning. I've met people over the years, talked to people over the years, and they'll say, you don't know what I've done. I've had people say, you know, I've been thinking about coming to church, but I got to get my life in order first. I got to get some things set straight. There's some things I need to quit doing or things I need to start doing. Then I can come to church. To me, that's like saying, I need to take a shower before I take a bath. You know, it just doesn't make much sense. And I tell people, look, come as you are. One gentleman told me, well, I'd come there, but I don't want you convicting me of my beer and cigarettes. I said, I'm not going to mention your beer and cigarettes. That's up to the Holy Ghost. That ain't up to me. A very good friend of mine that was a Baptist minister became backslidden. Moved in with a woman, wasn't his wife. Started going to the bars. Every time I'd see him, I'd talk to him about the love of Christ. I'd tell him that, you know you're doing wrong. You need to get rid of that woman. You need to stay out of those bars. And you need to do what God called you to do. And one day he quit coming around. He quit calling. And I called him. And I said, come over. He said, I get too convicted when I'm around you. And I said, brother, that's not me convicting you. Now, I didn't beat him. I didn't call him a no good, filthy scumball. But he knew enough, and he knew that I knew that he knew enough. I just said, you know better than to do what you're doing. And it was all out of frustration. His wife left him, took the kids, moved way out to the West Coast, and he was here. It seemed like everything in his life was going wrong, and he got so frustrated and so despondent that he just said, what's the use? Christians can get into sin, church. The problem is when we stay there. I've been backslid before as a Christian. I've shared my testimony with a lot of you. Very briefly, I started attending the Christian church when I was 10 years old, was baptized. Then when I was 12, I was baptized again because I didn't think I understood what I was doing at 10. By the time I was 14, I was smoking pot, still going to church. When I was 16, I got drunk and stole a car and wrecked it, and my parents had to pay for the damage. Then I quit going to church. And the reason why I started smoking pot and drinking, because I felt like I was missing out on life. The other kids at school used to tease me, here comes the preacher, here comes the preacher. Always carried a Bible with me, talked to other kids about Jesus. And I remember in high school, one of my buddies looked at me and said, whatever happened to your religion? Boy, that cut me like a knife. And I just cussed and said something, and he laughed. But see, I always believed in Jesus Christ. I always believed in his saving power, but I was at a point in my life I thought it was no longer for me. I did a 60-day hitch in a county jail, and every Saturday these two Assembly of God freaks used to come and witness. In jail, you are a captive audience. You can't go in the other room and say, I don't want to hear this, because you're right there. And these guys loved Jesus, and they loved us. And they would share their testimonies, and they would share the love of Christ. And I remember one of them would reach through the bars and put his hand on me and say, can I pray for you? And I'd take his hand off, and I'd say, no, and don't touch me. But on the inside, I was miserable. I knew what they were saying was true, but I thought it doesn't apply to me anymore. I walked away from God. God doesn't want anything to do with me. And my mom worried about me running with the wrong crowd. Then she finally figured out I was the wrong crowd. I was a bad influence. I got deep into sexual sin, drugs, you name it, I was doing it. And on the inside, I was dying. Every time I'd hear a gospel song, and God would send people to me on the streets, and they'd say, have you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? Yeah. One Baptist preacher was talking to me one day, and I was finishing his quotes. He said, a man knows what you do and lives like you do is a fool. You know you're going to hell? I said, yes, sir. And I'll save you a seat. I was so miserable in my sin, and I thought, nobody can forgive me for what I've done, including myself. That's just what I felt. I felt just like this leper. Unclean. Lepers were forced to live outside the camp. They could only associate with fellow lepers. I had become so vile, I was forced to hang around with the vile people because they was the only people wanting to hang around with me. And one of them told me one day, I love you, man, but you're getting out of control. I don't trust you. Doing the meth and drinking beer and whiskey, I'd get just meaner as a snake. That's pretty bad when the devil tells you he doesn't trust you anymore. Am I boasting? No. I can't go into detail about things I got into. It would offend many of you. You wouldn't want anything to do with me. But I'm telling you, I have known the depths of sin. And then I told you that little Baptist preacher came to my house one day. I'd been doing construction, and he was the boss. And we were shingling a roof one day, and he said, "Rick, have you heard the gospel of Jesus?" I said, "Yeah, and I don't want to hear it now." "Well, can't I tell you about the love of Jesus?" "No." And I thought to myself, you keep running your mouth, I will throw you off his roof. And swear to God, you trip and fail. That's how hard I'd become. But what he and many others didn't know was how miserable I was on the inside. When they'd start talking to me, I'd say, "I know that Jesus is love. I know that God loves other people, but he doesn't love me." I walked away. And that little preacher came to my house and said, "I know you didn't want to hear this, but God won't leave me alone. Jesus loves you and I love you. And I have to tell you about the love of Jesus." So I let him. I said, "Okay, do what you got to do, then leave." You know, I was dealing drugs. I looked like a freak. Had hair down to here and a beard. But that didn't bother him. And then he said, "Can I pray with you?" I said, "No." And he reached out and got a hold of my hand and said, "Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I just lift Rick up in the name of Jesus." And I'm like, "Lord, I'm going to punch him right in the mouth." But something happened on the inside. He left there, and I was felt so twisted on the inside and so miserable and angry because I told him not to pray, and he prayed. But it was about a month later, two weeks to a month later, I was getting drunk, which I did every Saturday night, and that prayer kept coming back and haunting me. And I called the only preacher I knew in Mansfield and told him. I poured my heart out to him. And I said, "God doesn't want anything to do with me." I walked away from God. I announced at 12 that God was calling me to ministry and that the Christian church just got thrilled. "Oh, you're going to be a preacher." And I thought I blew it. God doesn't want anything to do with me. And that preacher started laughing, and I said, "What's so funny?" He said, "I don't think you were ever saved in the first place." I won't name his denomination. You can probably guess it. But he said, "Rick, if you really had went too far, you wouldn't care. It wouldn't eat at you like this." He said, "You need to listen to the Lord, because it sounds to me like he's all over you." And I burped. I had a can of beer in my hand, said thank you, and hung up the phone. And I got up, and in my head, it was like I heard his voice, "Why don't you pray?" In fact, he told me that before I hung up. He said, "Why don't you pray? You've done everything else. Why don't you pray?" I said, "God doesn't want anything to do with me." And I thought, maybe I need to pray. And the next thing I knew, I was on the floor. Spilt my beer. But I cried out to God and said, "Have mercy on me." But I felt just like that leper. "If you're willing, I know you can do this." You know what Jesus did? He said, "I'm willing, not head." And he reached out and touched me, and he changed me. Yeah. It's never too late. I was wishing some of our teens were here today, because I wanted to tell them, if you've made a profession in Jesus Christ, this goes for everyone in the room, don't let go of that. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. I did not like the person I'd become. I considered suicide because I thought the world would be better off without somebody like me walking on it. And it wasn't self-pity. I loathed myself. But Jesus saw a valuable soul, and he forgave me. Christian, we can get into sin. We can backslide to a point that we feel there's no return, but that Savior's always waiting. You got to come to him. Yeah. He's always waiting, and he's always willing to say, "I'm willing to cleanse you." But you got to be like that leper. You got to fall at his feet. He didn't fall at his feet and say, "Well, you know, Jesus, I got a little acne problem, you know." No. He stunk. skin sloughing off in places. His face may have been disfigured. And he said, I know you could make me clean if you would. And Jesus said, I will. And he touched him. That always blows me away. That was against the law of Moses. According to their tradition, you weren't supposed to touch those people. But he reached out and put his hand on him and said, yeah, be clean. We got a message for the world, church. Why are we so busy avoiding the lepers? Well, I'm serious. We treat the unbelievers like they're leprous. Oh, it'll hurt my testimony if they see me around those people. Those are the very people that you need to see. I have to remind myself of that. I thank God there was a little redneck Baptist preacher that loved the Lord enough and obeyed his voice and said, I got to share the love of Jesus Christ with this man. He didn't know my past. He didn't know that I professed to be a Christian at one time and backslid. He didn't care. When I moved to that town, one guy told me one day, now we have everything, a gas station, a grocery store, and a town drunk. Every Saturday night I was drunk. And when I was drunk, I was loud, hooping and hollering, just having a blast. That preacher didn't care. All he knew is that Jesus Christ loved me. He said God would not let him alone about talking to me. I praise God that there's people like that on this earth. That's what we're called to do, church. To love the unlovely. I remember going into a bar once to say hi to a guy I hadn't seen while I was associate pastor at a Nazarene church, and one of the ladies jumped all over me and said, what are you doing going in the bar? I said, well, I wanted to talk to this guy. Yeah, but you're a Nazarene pastor. You shouldn't be at a bar. I said, Jesus went to bars. He did not. I said, he sure did. Where do you think he got the wine? Jesus drank wine, church. Jesus sat at tables with prostitutes, tax collectors. That's like eating with the IRS. Now, it's going to take some doing for me to do that. But he sat at tables and ate with these people. And when the religious snobs of his day said, why are you doing that? He said, because they're the ones that need me. How are they going to hear that if we don't get outside the walls, church? Yeah. We had a media class in Bible college, and the minister was asking about media and talking about different ways of using the media, and he said, radio. And he said, why not put your church program on KTTS? And one guy said, wait a minute, that's a country music station. We should put it on gospel stations. He said, why? They've already heard it. He said, why not buy some time on a country music or rock and roll station and do the program? Here's a good suggestion. Let's get off our blessed assurance and go out and do it ourselves. It doesn't cost anything. Am I saying go up on the square and preach? No. I'm saying just be available. Don't be afraid to tell these people about the love of Jesus Christ. If I ever see Oren again, I'm going to kiss him right dead in the mouth. He's probably dead by now. He was an old man then, but I'm serious. I would kiss him right dead in the mouth and say, thank you for the courage and the boldness and the love you showed. Church, we got what the world needs. Don't worry about political correctness and who are you going to offend. My gosh.
That offends me. Well, get over yourself.
That's the way I feel. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He came to heal people like that beggar, like that leper. Now he works through us. Are we willing to step out like he did? I'm not talking about knocking on doors like JWs, although that, if you want to do that, do it. But God didn't call us to huddle up and hide behind walls and say, well, we sure hope the unsaved come to us. No, we're supposed to go to them. We're supposed to be available. We're supposed to be willing to talk to them. Jesus said, I'm willing. Are you? Do you care? Do you know what awaits the people that never hear the gospel or reject the gospel? Eternal torment in the lake of fire. Eternal darkness. Do you care? Sometimes I think we quit believing in that in the church. We've lost that fear. Let's just love them in the name of Jesus. And loving them means telling them this is wrong. Mike Warnke's book, he mentioned that people don't like being told they're sinners, so we don't tell them they're sinners. We just hope they keep coming to church and eventually they'll figure it out. Now I'm paraphrasing. That's a bunch of garbage. It doesn't mean you jump down their throats when they walk in. But it means if when they get to trust you enough to talk to you, you be bold enough in the Lord to say, now look, this is what the Word says. And if they say, I don't agree with that, say, well, I'm sorry. I didn't write the book. I'm just telling you what it says. Jesus said, I am willing. My question for us today is, are we willing? Are we willing to share the love of Jesus Christ with people? Not to be critical. Not to be harsh. Are we willing to share the truth? The whole truth and nothing but the truth. That's what we need to be doing in church. Jesus said, I'm willing, and he touched him and he cleansed him. The church needs to say, Lord, we're willing to be your hands and your feet and your mouth. We're willing to represent you. Doesn't matter what the world thinks or what they say about us. I said this morning that normal's only a setting on a dryer. I don't worry if people think I'm not normal. That's the heart of Christ. I don't know how else to say it. That's his heart. He came to save sinners. He didn't pull back or take a step back when the man came toward him. He took a step forward and put his hand on him. It's time for the church to step forward, church.